But I never shied away or went away from the foundation of what the school is built, and I never will. What you want to do is you want to come in and you want to add to that which is built. He and I had a conversation before he left, and his conversation with me was, he said, Devin, he said, I'm a starter. He said, and you're the guy who comes in and continues. He said, that's, I love to start things. He said, and move on. And he said, what you do is you know what it is to come in afterwards and enhance it. So I think what people didn't realize was that he and I were having conversations all along about the desires and plans that I have. It's, and that's a great part of education. Education is an ever-evolving profession.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Devin Thomas. Devin is the co-director and principal at Stream Charter Schools in Oroville, California. Devin, thank you so much for being here today.
Janet, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. Me too. So tell me a little bit about your position and a little about Stream Charter.
I am the co-director's principal, as you said. And so my responsibility is really school-wide. I'm responsible for the school and staff and students and everything that goes into basically making the school run on a daily basis, especially dealing with personnel. And I have a co-director, Ms. Ellen Hamilton, who is really over the finances, but she has a depth of knowledge when it comes to being a principal as well. So she has been in that position prior to coming to Stream, and she's been outstanding at it. So it's a two-prong approach, and we work very well together, hand in hand. And so I am thankful for her efforts and the rest of our staff, which is just amazing.
Yeah. And then when you have a co-person that you work with, that's really important. I'm glad to hear that you have that. We have that co here, but it's a husband and wife team. So, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not so good.
And in a position where I'm a teacher with wife.
My husband loves to joke. He loves to say, yeah, my boss, man, she's something. Because we are a woman-owned business. Like, we started out as a woman-owned business. So we used our own, we don't have any investors here. So we used our nest egg, you know, all of our money to invest and to get started. God said, I want you to do this. And we went all in. And then during the pandemic, I started it and he had a full-time job somewhere else. And then he came during the pandemic, he got furloughed. We've been talking about it, but, you know, when we restructured, we said, okay, to stay woman owned, I own 51%, he owns 49%. And of course, he's fine with that, but he loves the fact that he can joke about that. You know, oh, my boss, awesome. I'll tell you.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about Stream. Tell me, you know, what's your demographics and how long has Stream been a charter school?
Stream has been in operation. This is, I believe, the 12th year that we've been in operation. I came in at the start of year number three.
Oh, and it was founded been there a while.
A man by the name of Don Phillips, who is a mentor, and I call him my brother. But when we walk down the street, you would swear we're twins. He's 6'7", Caucasian guy. And here I am, 5'6". And so we do call ourselves twins. But Don had a vision, and I was at the time, Oroville is about an hour and 10 minutes north of Sacramento, and I was in Los Angeles at the time. And he and I had worked together in the Los Angeles area, and his vision was to start a charter school. And the vision was to have a school that equipped students for 21st century jobs. His desire was to, in Oroville, have a small school that students would not have to leave, go away from our area after they graduated, hopefully college, or there were other jobs that they could have that would allow them to stay in this area and be great citizens as we got older. And what his desire was he started the school it was based on a book, I Got Schooled, by M. Night Shyamalan, the director. And M. Night Shyamalan had a group, an educational group that did research. And the research stated that it wasn't so much small class sizes that made a difference. At times it was the small school size. So what the school was started on was one class per grade from kindergarten through eighth grade. So yeah, one kindergarten, one first, all the way up. It wasn't until 3 years ago that we began to double, and we went with a second kindergarten all the way up. And this is the year that we have now fully doubled in size, where we have two classes per grade. And that's as far as we're going. As far as I'm taking it, I can take
as far as you're going to get. Who knows what the future is, right?
Yes. Yeah. So whatever
else. Do you end at eighth grade, or have you gone beyond to the high school level?
We are TK through eighth with two classes per grade right now. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, very cool. And so you've kind of stepped into some big shoes. It sounds like from the conversation that we had before, now you're like running the show a little bit more than you did. How did that go? I know I love the analogy of the difference. To step back to that comment, because it made me laugh so hard, because when we go to conferences, my daughter goes with us. She's a redhead and she's about 20, she'll be 28 next month. And then our executive director of sales is South Korean, and he's like about 6 foot. And I tell them I'm the owner and this is my daughter, and they're twins. Same kind of thing. So funny, because you know, we are humans and we all bleed the same. But I digress. I'm sorry. I wanted to make was that the shoes that you're feeling. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, naturally and educationally, those were big shoes to fill, because not only is Don a phenomenal leader, has been a phenomenal leader, he also is a great visionary. And so he was, when he started the school, he and another young man by the name of Toby Erickson, Don had a vision, Toby had a vision. They had it years ago when they first basically were getting into education. And then they separated. Don had went to, like I said, to the Los Angeles area for a while. Yeah. And I want to say he was there for 19, 20 years. And then he came back. And when he came back to Oroville, he had been here before as a youth pastor. When he came back to Oroville, many people still knew him as a great leader. But then he stepped into a role at a local middle school. And he was the principal there for several years. And then he decided he was going to branch out and start this charter school. And so people bought into Don as well as the philosophy of what they had. So not only did he have the past, where he now had former people that were in his youth group that now had children. And then he also had reacclimated himself as a principal here. And at a middle school. So he had great, great support. Then you also had Toby Erickson, who was a phenomenal teacher that everybody knew, who taught several grades and also had taught some of the gate program as well. So he was well known. So when they came together, Toby's wife, Leanne, had come over, and she was a great teacher as well. And her name was well known because of the family in the area was involved in music. They were all music teachers. So they had a great following. And it's not the norm, as you well know, it's not the norm for a charter school to start on the first day and be full.
Right. Yeah. It's a struggle.
Yes. On the very first day, they were completely full. And I had asked Don about that. I said, what was your thought coming into the very first day of school? And he said, my thought was, are people really going to show up? And he said, after the first day, he went home and he said, they really did. They really came. So had this leader that had been with them for years and years, upwards of 10 years, that was the voice that individuals knew. That was the voice that not only your staff knew, that was a voice that your parents knew, that was a voice that your students knew. Right. They didn't know another voice But to see here this man who had a great presence about him, he had great leadership ability, great skills, and he was a great educator. So that's a tough package. And I always said whoever followed him was not a very smart person. They could have all the education they wanted, but they couldn't be very bright. The only great saving grace for me was this is the second time I followed him. I followed him at a school in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles area. And so I knew some of the struggles that we would face.
And yet you're navigating it. So yeah. So how's it going?
It's going well. And okay. And it took a while. It took, you know, it took a couple of years, because what happens is it takes a while for people to hear your voice and right. to understand your vision. And the thing is, Don and I meet every Saturday when he's in town. When he's not in town, of course, we don't meet, but we go mm-hmm. to lunch. We're on a tour right now. We call it the Twins Tour. And what we do is we go eat at a restaurant every Saturday, and that's our time to reconnect. But it's going well, but it took a while for people to understand. There was a different voice, a different vision, mm-hmm. a different view that was coming in. But I never shied away or went away from the foundation of what the school is built. And I never will. What you want to do is you want to come in and you want to add to right. that which is built. He and I had a conversation before he left, and his conversation with me was, he said, Devin, he said, I'm a starter, he said, and you're the guy who comes in and continues. He said, mm-hmm. that's, I love to start things, he said, and move on. And he said, what you do is you know what it is to come in afterwards and enhance it. So I think what people didn't realize was that he and I were having conversations all along about mm-hmm. the desires and plans that I have. It's, and that's a great part of education. Education is an ever evolving profession. It's not stagnant.
No, it isn't.
And I think what happens is where the problem becomes is especially people struggle with change. That goes without saying.
That's human nature. Yes. That's human nature. It really is. Yeah.
So stepping in, there was change. And I remember even the fact we have a morning assembly every morning. And at the assembly, Don would do jokes. At the assembly, that's the way he would pretty much end it. And he would end with, you know, a word that students would say to each other, like have a tactful Tuesday or something. He would always do something like that. And and he turned that over to me the year before he left. And I can recall kids going to him and saying, man, Mr. Thomas' jokes are just not good. They are just terrible. And I'll tell you, Janet, I have a friend who used to play for the 49ers. I had to call this guy. He was in Texas. I was like, man, dude, I'm getting hammered just by the jokes. And so, and what happens is, what people don't realize a lot of times is kids are now, we're now going home telling their parents what they weren't receptive of. And now parents can now turn around and say, this is going to be hard if he leaves, because I don't know if people will react to, they say, Coach Thomas, yeah. the way that they reacted to Mr. Phillips. So Don got a kick out of it. I was struggling with these, and I was getting the same jokes out of the box he was getting them.
Yeah,
I was using
jokes. It's just delivery, right? Delivery and the audience.
And the audience, right. Yeah. And so there were times early on that, you know, I had to find some encouragement myself because I pride myself on really doing a great job in all aspects of what we do. I don't care if it's telling a joke. I want to be the best joke teller there is too. That does supersede education, but I took every aspect of it serious. And what I had to realize is time is the thing that again was the key. I always say, time does three things, in my opinion. It heals, it reveals, and it allows you to grow in whatever you're doing. So it teaches, it heals, it reveals. That's what I always say. So what happened was time was teaching me about the culture and landscape of Oroville. It was teaching me also about the culture and landscape of the students and parents that mm-hmm. I was leading, because it was different. It's different when you're number two as compared to being number one.
Yeah.
And so that's what was the great thing for me. And then there was a group of people that really believed in the direction that we were going and stuck with me. And now we are rolling pretty well.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you guys are rolling. You're doing some amazing things. I was reading a little bit about how you guys don't have very many issues with behaviors and fights. Tell us a little bit about that initiative and how you guys are managing that.
When I came in the third year, like I said, the start of the third year, I was a PE teacher. But when I worked with Don down in the Los Angeles area, he knew that I had been a dean of students for him down there. Mm-hmm. And so by the mid year, he was saying, Devin, I'm going to put you in this position. And he said, what I want you to do is develop a culture for the mm-hmm. school. Yeah. And so what I wanted was a culture of respect, a culture really where kids would be responsible for their actions. But one of the main things that I strive to share, and not prove, I strive to share that wrong is right in our society, but we can make mm-hmm. right. And when you think of if a student is cheating in class and another student has studied for a test and the student who has studied says to the teacher, that person's cheating, the kid who actually told and is telling the truth is considered the rat. They're in the wrong. So wrong mm-hmm. is right. And yeah. what we've desired to do is make right right and hold people accountable, hold our students accountable. And mm-hmm. so what I did was immediately I became involved where I went to classes every single day as dean of students. Any issue I desired to work with, I desired to be the one that was calling homes to allow and calling parents to allow the teachers to have a little bit more freedom. Now, it could be viewed, that could be viewed in an opposite way. I wasn't overstepping as far as discipline. The teachers had their responsibility, but when it became certain things became a little bigger, I wanted to take that responsibility for the sake of saying, this is how we're going to do it. And then okay. we all got on the same page. Mm-hmm. And doing that, it wasn't every little issue you sent.
You were leading by example.
Yes.
You were really,
That was the goal. And the students now they understood. Cursing went down. We really didn't have a ton of fights to begin with, but the fights were far and few between because of the hands-on nature of administration. This is what I feel is very different in schools at times, and I'm not knocking anybody because there are many issues and many problems, but if there is an expectation that there should not be fights or whatever else, that administration has to take an active participatory role in that mm-hmm. to make sure that that's limited. Meaning, I had to stay out on campus when they were in class, when they were out of class. So I was on campus during recess time. I was on campus before they came to school. I was on campus after when they were leaving as well. Don was very big on that as a principal, that you be here when kids arrive, you be there when kids leave. But I wanted to have a not only this authoritative figure, I also wanted to make sure that things that the students know that I knew them personally.
Mm-hmm.
And how I did that was I had nicknames for most of our students. And so I just became aware, and I could tell a parent personally about students that were, whether they were in trouble, whether they were not, I wanted to have a personal understanding of each child. And mm-hmm. I think the person who stepped in that role for me, we call him Coach Tang Yang, has continued that, done a great job. Of course, there are people that still, you know, they struggle with decisions you make when you're in the discipline process. Oh, yeah. I feel they've I feel he's done a phenomenal job, and our culture is what it is. That's the one thing that you would know, Janet, about our school is people will say, you know, the culture. And if I may, I can recall some people coming off that weren't a part of our school. They came to our school and I asked a man, I said, I need you to do something for me. I said, I want you to look around on our campus. And I said, find a student that didn't go to our school last year. I said, because they'll stand out. Not that we want people to stick out as sore thumbs, but it was them learning the culture and our expectations. Never been here. He said, that one, I don't think went to your school last year. And I said, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Because that's what we've tried to develop.
One thing I often hear from school leaders is, I just want a partner who puts students first. At Lighthouse Therapy, that's exactly what we do. We don't have outside investors and we don't answer to shareholders. Instead, we answer to school leaders like you, those listening to this podcast. Whether you're wanting virtual, hybrid, or in-person therapy, our systems are designed to make your life easier and your team stronger. We are a therapy company run by therapists for therapists for the betterment of students. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn how we can help you support your students this year.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And you know, it's you were talking before about not the class size, but you know, the size of the school and how that I see where, you know, you can help by learning all of their names and knowing their stories. Everybody's got a story, but when you care about people's story and when you know their name or the nickname that you've given them and you use it consistently, that there's power. There's so much power in that. For sure. Yeah.
Yes. And and now that we've doubled in size, that is now a little more challenging. Mm-hmm. And now your responsibilities, my responsibilities has totally changed. Mm-hmm. But the reality is Coach Yang stays out amongst them. When you see them walk in, we're out early in the morning to greet students when they come in. He knows way more names than I do because of the fact of the job has changed, but he has kept that personal relationship with the individuals going. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, and this is just me speculating because it's not, I'm not an expert, but I think that even at a big school, you could probably do this, but you would have to have so many, you'd have to have people that focused on this group and then focused on this, you know, this age bracket or whatever. And that might be a challenge financially for schools as well. But, you know, there's lots of really exceptional big schools as well as exceptional small schools. It's just a matter of, you know, doing what you do and doing it well. So for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I usually ask our guests as a question at the end or towards the end of the conversation, if you could miraculously fix one thing, just one thing in your world, and it can't be money because we always know everybody needs more money. You know, money's in education, there's never enough money. But if you could just fix one thing in your world that, you know, whether it be God coming in and just taking it away or just something that, you know, affects your kids or your environment, what would that one thing be that you would just love to just see it's fixed, it's gone?
I that's a great question. Thank you for that. I would say the relationship and understanding between educators and parents. The true understanding between educators and parents, because there are so many things that go on through the course of a day and there's so many things that are happening and it's honestly, it's at warp speed. And you're moving pretty doggone fast and decisions are being made that are not understood. And I would love to have more conversations with parents so that they understood exactly the what's and the whys behind decisions that are being made, and them having a desire to recognize that the decisions that are made are for the benefit of all, rather than just the benefit of some. Now, I say that with sort of a caveat because we have a phenomenal, phenomenal parent group. I mean, if we ask for anything, those parents are there, they're supporting, they're doing everything. So I'm not knocking what we have.
Right. Yeah. Now,
I'm just saying what I would love to see even more is when there are tough decisions being made, that conversations are being had and there's a desire for you to understand, me to understand, and I see it from different perspectives and work together. That's what my heart would be.
Yeah. And you just want what's best. And we all have our own bias. And, you know, sometimes when you see and there's that knee jerk reaction, right? Of, I don't like what the school just did. That makes me mad, without really delving into. And we talked a little bit before the podcast about the frustration I have with the media and how they're beating up schools all the time because of one test score, and how that's really an unfair lens, right? But that's the only lens that they're given. So when a parent uses a lens that isn't a clear lens, I totally get wanting them to understand, because obviously, Devin, you care about your students. You care about the decisions that are made at the level that you're making them are not made lightly. They're not flippant. You don't just go out and go, okay, well, we're going to do this now. You know, it's hard work, and it's hard work and it's dedication. And obviously you have that dedication. So I get that you would want that. So parents, you know, before you overreact, make sure you get the whole story. Right. And we love you, because we do. I mean, that's the other piece of it, is we love your kids, and we want what's best for your kids always. And that's the heart of a teacher, for sure.
Exactly. And that means a lot. I was sharing with some of our colleagues. I was saying that what's hard is, say, if a parent comes in and they hammering, a lot of times a teacher will do this, a teacher. And you can find even administrators will kind of do this, not for the sake of they don't like the child. What they're doing is, I don't want to be hammered again, or I don't want somebody thinking that I went back to the child with any maliciousness in my heart or whatever else. And so what I try and encourage parents when there are tough decisions is, if you need to come in and yell at me, or you need to come in and talk to me before getting to a teacher, come vent that here. Because what the desire is for a teacher or any type of educator never to get to a point where it's just a job.
Yeah.
Now the care has been honestly taken out of this situation, and I just got to do this, and I just got to treat it and get the job done. Yeah. And that's what I never want to see happen as educators continue to move forward. And you hear that consistently going on across our nation.
Yeah. And apathy is, it's sad. It's a sad thing when it happens. And, you know, when you're beaten up sometimes, you know, and it does start from the top down. You know, you've got to have that support. You've got to support your people. You've got to love on them. You've got to support what they're doing. And it's a balancing act all the time. And it's never, the job is never done, is it, Devin? Never
done. Right. I will say it's not from just sun up to sundown. Believe me, my wife can tell you, I'm working pretty much from about 2 a.m. on, it seems like. Your sleep pattern is truly impacted by things that happen for many different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. This job is not for the faint of heart. That's for sure. And it doesn't pay what everybody thinks that it should pay. And that's for sure. It does not. You're not going to become Donald Trump doing this job, I'll tell you.
Right. That's for sure.
Or Elon Musk. Pick. I don't care who you pick. Somebody else. I don't know. Whoever your billionaire in your mind is, pick that person. You're not going to do that as an educator.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
And that's why I say that people care. You have people that care, and keep them in that mentality of caring, and support them in that mentality of caring. And I understand the other side of being frustrated too. I get that, because I've been on that side as a parent too. But the reality is, how do we hear and listen to diverse perspectives and work together for the benefit of the children that we serve? That's the goal. That's the goal.
That's the bottom line. Yeah, absolutely. And it's very evident. So tell Devin, tell people where they can find out some more information about Stream Charter School and maybe even your role.
Yes, yes. I would love that. You can go to www.streamcharter.net, and that will give you, that's our website, will give you all the information that what we're doing. And also we'll be coming out with a podcast ourselves.
Oh, good for you.
We're looking forward to that. And that's a student-led podcast.
Oh, fun.
That we will be doing for the sake of promoting what's going on in our community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's production. There's so many pieces. I'll tell you, I have the best part of the podcast. I get to be the one in front of the camera. What do they call it in the industry, Hollywood or whatever? I'm the talent, you know, like get the talent. I don't do all the behind the scenes. I don't do all of the outreach and all of that. I don't. And after I do the interviews, I'm not the one who does the editing. They just make me look good.
Well, that's we have several students that are doing that, and you're behind the scenes, like you're saying.
Yeah.
So they're learning every aspect of it, because that's a part of our technology classes as well.
Very good. Very good. And it's a source of information that is not going to go away. It's getting bigger and stronger as we continue on this journey of technology. Never thought I'd be in this role, but here I sit, you know, 58 years old and talking to amazing people like yourself. I'm blessed beyond measure. I'll tell you, it's super fun to do what I do and to talk to people like you that, and give you a voice. You know, that's the whole point of Brighter Together, is just being brighter together, just giving you guys an opportunity to talk about the amazing things that are happening all over the United States, because our educators are amazing. So thank you, Devin, for the hard work that you do for your students. And thank you for being on the show. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Janet, thank you so much. And we appreciate what you do.